is watchfulness in prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it. The words keeping alert can mean be watchful. Be awake in your prayers. Do not sleep. Do not grow drowsy and fall asleep, but be always watchful in your prayers. The King James Bible translates it watch, and the New King James translates it continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in your prayer life. The same word Jesus used often when he spoke of his second coming into this world. He would say, therefore, be on the alert. Be on the alert, the same word, for you do not know the day or the hour when your Lord is coming. And it's the same word he used in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying and the disciples fell asleep and he came to them and he said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. And then he said, keep watching and praying that you may not fall into temptation. There's the word, be on the alert. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the idea that Paul is getting at here is there must be a spiritual watchfulness in prayer. There must be a spiritual watchfulness in our prayers. Watching for dangers and praying always must go together. Our prayers must have in their content spiritual watchfulness against the dangers that are against us. The Christian is in a spiritual warfare. Many enemies are all around us in this warfare that we are in. There is the danger of remaining sin within our own hearts that is powerful. There's a devil outside of us who is always active. He is never sleeping. He is never tireless. He never grows tired. He is always looking for some Christian who is not spiritually watchful, prowling about ready to devour him when he sees him. And then there are the sins, the enticements, all the allurements of the world that we live in, the sinful ways of the world ready to bring us under their power and harm us in one way or another. And the battle is around us. There is a spiritual warfare in the Christian life, and we are tempted to grow drowsy and fall asleep in our prayers. Prayer is to be like the watchman who stands on the citadel, the guard tower of the city. He's the guard that watches over the city walls for the sight of the enemy. And when he is on that guard duty at night, the night grows long and he is tempted to become drowsy and his eyelids begin to fall down. But what if he sleeps? The city is in great danger. And so it is with Christians. We are to be watchful about the spiritual dangers that are all around us. Vigilant, watching and praying are together. Keep watching, Jesus says, and praying that you might not enter into temptation. Persevere, be devoted to prayer, keeping alert in it, be watchful in it, be vigilant in it. Each one of us here this morning, as a Christian, we ought to know ourselves. And we ought to know who we are and what our weaknesses are. And each one of us, we ought to know what our particular weaknesses, our frailties, our sins are in the Christian life. And those things should be specific matters of prayer when we deal with God. Every one of us knows our own proneness to our own sins, the dangers that come around us, and we must be spiritually alert. For some of us, it is perhaps discontent. Your soul is discontent over the providences of God to you. You are not pleased You are not happy. You are not content with where God has placed you in your life. And discontent is a spiritual sin. And then there's other sins of anger and outbursts of anger and temper. And then there's other sins of the tongue. And then there's sins of the flesh. Any number of sins could be listed that are the proneness of one Christian or the proneness of another Christian to stumble into sin. And those weaknesses must be the matters, the business of prayer with God. So many times in the Christian life when we find ourselves stumbling into some sin, it's not a new sin that we've never experienced before. It's the same stumbling block we've been there before. Nothing new, really. What's happened to us? We've lost our watchfulness. We've lost our alertness in prayer. We have not been praying against these sins. They must be the matters of our prayer. That's what Jesus taught in the sixth petition in the Lord's Prayer. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. We pray, Lord, here is my sin. And I know my sin. And I know my proneness to this sin. Lord Jesus, help me. Send grace and strength. Bring it to Him in prayer. Whatever it is. Do not allow me to be led astray. Do not allow me to come into the power. Be spiritually alert in your prayers. Don't pray and waste your time speaking in generalities and vagueness. Bring specific requests to God that you struggle with in your spiritual life in prayer. Sometimes we've been in situations in the past, we know our weakness in those situations, and then we see the same situation, we're about to come into it again. What do? Do we just enter into it? No, we should pray and say, Lord Jesus, help me now as I enter in to this situation in my life. Guard yourselves. Be alert in prayer. There were spiritual dangers. We're talking here about individual spiritual dangers. That's true. All of that is true. But there's also spiritual dangers that always affect the church of Christ in this world in general. And that was the case in the church at Colossae. There were spiritual dangers that were threatening the church of Jesus in the city of Colossae. Back in chapter 2, Paul had to deal with all those errors that were against the Colossians. There were some there who were trying to mix human philosophy and empty deceptions, man-made traditions, into the truth of the gospel. And Paul has to warn them. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Do not be led astray by them. And then there were those who were the Jewish legalists. And they were telling the Colossians that the work of Jesus Christ in His life and death on the cross was not enough to save them. They needed to add the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament if they were to be saved. And then there were the hyper-spiritualists who told the Colossians they need to have visions and they need to be in contact with angels. And then there were the ascetics who were telling them that they needed to have severe discipline of their bodies and they should not touch this or they should not handle this food over here. There were ascetics there in Colossae. They had their man-made rules contrary to the truth of the gospel. And these errors were not innocent and harmless. They were not innocent and they were not harmless errors. If the Colossians, any one of them, was led astray by any of them, they would have departed from the truth of the gospel and they would have perished. It was danger. It was spiritual danger that was surrounding the church. How were they to escape from these spiritual dangers? How were they to be on guard against them? The answer is found in chapter 4 and verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer and be alert in its spiritual watchfulness against dangers, against heresies, against false teaching. And the same is true for us today. The dangers of the Christian church have not changed. Many errors surround the church of Jesus today, just like they always have. And the devil is very crafty. He is very clever when he comes with his errors. But he does not come in all his darkness. He disguises himself as an angel of light. And he is willing to come and put a Bible in the pulpit and make the people think that what they're hearing is the Word of God without the whole counsel of God. And his errors are often deceitful. They seem from a distance to be innocent and harmless. They seem to be just innocent. Little mistakes, little errors that will be of no account, harmless, innocent little things. But the danger is, they taste good. But then afterward, down the road, sometimes many years down the road, you find out the full effect of the errors. That's the way the devil works. He is not so blatant that he's going to take the Bible and cast it out of the church. And then, no, he comes very cleverly and deceitfully. We saw what Jesus said this morning to the churches in the book of Revelation. That's what he's dealing with. He said on earth in the Sermon on the Mount, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. How do they come to you in sheep's clothing? That's how they come. Inwardly ravenous wolves. John says, children, it is the last hour, just as you have heard that Antichrist is coming. Even now, he says, many Antichrists have arisen. By this you know that it is the last hour. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, but the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, Paul says this. He says, realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, without self-control, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And he gives that long list of some 19 different sins, and then he closes it with this: holding fast to a form of godliness, though they deny its power. They're holding on to all those sins, yes, and holding on to an outward form of godliness at the same time. They have rejected the power of God in the gospel. Spiritual dangers have not changed in the Christian church. If we're in this church this morning and we think that we're not in a warfare as a congregation, and if there are not spiritual dangers surrounding the church, then we are under a delusion. We have fallen asleep in the Christian life. If any church is to maintain truth, if any church is to continue as the pillar and the ground of the truth, what it needs is a praying congregation. Members who are devoted to prayer and are keeping alert in it. That's what Paul's telling the Colossians. Don't fall asleep in the midst of the dangers that are around you and even within you. But persevere in your prayers. Keeping alert, keeping vigilant against all spiritual dangers. Each one of you individually in your own lives, and all of you together in the life of the church. We turn to a couple passages where we see the same idea. The first is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Beginning in verse 25, Jesus teaches about his second coming. And he says, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth dismay among nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. Men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Jesus teaches, describes the events which will accompany and precede his second coming. When he comes to judge the world will seem to be going on in its normal business. Things will seem to be as they have always been. And then suddenly the natural world, the whole universe, will be shaken. And there will be calamities in the heavens and on earth that no man has ever seen before. And when this happens, the hurricanes, the earthquakes, the tsunamis that men seem to be so afraid of today, those things will seem to be nothing compared to this. The whole universe is beginning to come unraveled at the seams. The heavens and the earth are shaking. The sun will be darkened, Jesus says. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the heavens. There will be the roaring of the seas and the waves. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. And men will know something is happening in this world that has never happened before. And sinners will be filled with terror and fear, running to hide themselves. But there will be no place to hide. Perplexity, Jesus says. Perplexity, dismay. Dismay, confusion among all the nations. Men fainting. Men fainting from fear and the expectations of things coming on the world. Men worry about their stock market today. Men worry about their 401ks. They worry about their money, their houses, their cars, their boats, their health insurance. When this day comes, there'll be no more worrying about those things. Those things which once seemed to be so valuable will be worthless. Worthless when this day comes. And sinners will be in great dismay. And they'll look up into the heavens and they'll see Jesus Christ appearing in his glory and power with all the angels of heaven with him. Verse 27, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That's what's coming. And sinners will be filled with fear. Jesus says, this will be the day of our salvation. He says in verse 28, when these things take place, straighten up. Lift up your head, your redemption is drawing near. The same day that sinners lose everything is the day that saints gain their eternal rewards. And then Jesus tells a parable in verse 29 through 33 about the fig tree. He told them a parable. Behold the fig tree and the trees. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they put forth leaves, you see it and know for yourselves that summer is now near. Even so you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Jesus is never concerned to tell us the exact time and the hour. He himself said, the Son of Man does not know the day or the hour of his coming. Only the angel, not the angels in heaven, only the Father in heaven. He's not concerned to tell us the exact time. But he tells us the certainty of his coming. In verse 33, he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. My words, he says, the words that I've just spoken. The prophets of the Old Testament, they would say, thus says the Lord. It was the Lord's words that the prophets spoke. When Jesus speaks, he says, my words. Because he has power to fulfill his words. The words he's just spoken, they will come to pass. All power in heaven and earth, he says, has been given to me. And I can fulfill my words. Heaven and earth will pass away with a roar. My words will not pass away. And then he gives a warning in verse 33. What should we do in the light of these things? How should we live? What should we do and conduct ourselves in this world? He says in verse 34, be on guard that your hearts may not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day come on you suddenly like a trap. Jesus gives three dangers that Christians should be aware of, and the first is dissipation. Dissipation is spending one's life and energy and time in pursuit of useless and vain pleasures and comforts. Sensualities, it includes drunkenness as well, overindulgence, amusements and entertainments, all the things that the world has to offer. The King James translates it carousing. The second thing he warns us against is drunkenness. Excessive drinking of alcohol. Drunkenness. And then the third thing he mentions is the worries or the cares of life. All those anxieties, those troubles that come to our souls because we are so concerned to get and to maintain more and more of the things of this world. Money and wealth and cars and boats and houses and things that we think we need. And we end up with so many bills, so many worries, so many cares, so many concerns over all these things. Now when you hear these things, dissipation, carousing, drunkenness, and the worries of life. What does that sound like to you? It sounds like the American way of life, does it not? Because that's what the culture is always telling us. If you're going to be happy and you're going to be successful, you must have this thing and that thing and all these other things. This is what life is all about. And this is what you must live for. That's what the culture tells us. If you don't have these things, you can't possibly have peace and happiness in your life. We need these things. The problem is, all these things weigh down the hearts of men. That's the warning. Do not let these things, they may be some things legitimate in themselves, but they weigh down the heart. And they weigh down the heart with so many worries and cares that the heart is so weighed down, it can't even look up and see Jesus and think of Him and be ready for Him. That's the idea. Do not let your hearts be so weighed down with all these things that you can't have any energy and time and effort left to pay attention to the things that are most important. Scripture. The knowledge of God in Scripture. And fellowship with Jesus Christ and holiness without which no one will see Him. Those are the most important things. Don't let your heart be so weighed down with all these other things. We notice here in this passage, Jesus puts the worries of life right next to dissipation or carousing and drunkenness. Now, we might understand very easily how, when Jesus comes back from heaven, if someone's life is consumed in carousing and drunkenness, how that man or woman is not ready to meet the Lord Jesus. We understand that. That's pretty clear. But what he's saying here is he puts the worries of life in the very same category. The worries of life seem more respectable sins, but a man can destroy his soul with respectable sins. And just like with carousing and drunkenness, if one's heart is so weighed down with the worries of this life, he is unprepared to meet Christ and he will perish. That's the warning of Jesus. He brings all these things together. Do not love the world, John says, nor the things in the world. You cannot love the world and love God at the same time. Choose your master and serve him fully. Jesus is not speaking here to unbelievers. He's speaking to believers, that we would not be caught unexpectedly when he returns. Then he gives a warning in verse 44. Well, he says in verse 35, he says, "For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth." The King James, the New King James translates it, "It will come as a snare." And the New American Standard reads at the end of verse 34, "as a trap, like a trap." And the idea is the suddenness of Jesus' return from heaven. He will come suddenly, like lightning flashes across the sky. When men least expect him, there he will be. When life seems to be going on as it always has, he will come. And when he does, many professing Christians will be found sleeping at his appearance. That's what the parable of the 10 virgins is all about. Some of them slept so bad when Jesus came, they were not ready to meet him. It will come as a snare, like a trap on men on the earth. So what do we do? How do we live in the midst of these things? How can we be ready? Verse 36, he tells us, "But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." Two things he says to get ready. Keep on the alert and be praying. Be watchful against the spiritual dangers that are in your heart of dissipation, drunkenness, worries of life. Be watchful over your heart. Always watching, always praying together, that you may have strength and grace from Jesus Christ to be able to stand before him on the last day. What kind of Christians will be saved on the last day? Watchful and praying Christians. That's the kind of Christians that will be saved. That's what Paul is telling us in Colossians 4 and verse 2. The same thing Jesus teaches in regard to his second coming. And Paul is telling us we must devote ourselves to prayer. We must persevere in it all the way to the end and be always vigilant, watching, praying at all times against these dangers that overcome us. What will you do when sin begins to have power in your life? What will you do? You must bring it to him, spiritual watchfulness, and pray for grace to fight against it. We have no power in ourselves to fight the spiritual battles. We need grace and power from heaven by the Holy Spirit. We turn to one more passage in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 10 through 13. Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, and put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." We are in the spiritual warfare if we are Christians, and the devil is always at work to stumble and trip us up. He says in verse 12 that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It is against the spiritual forces, the rulers, the powers in the heavenly places. Supernatural powers are against us. Superhuman strength, cleverness, craftiness, beyond our ability to fully understand. Superhuman powers are against every Christian. And we must be strong in the Lord, he says, and in the strength of his might. That's the only place to get strength, from Christ, our great Savior. In verse 13, he talks about the evil day. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day. What is the evil day? It is a day in the life of a Christian of a sudden assault. Not maybe a single day, but a period of time. It is a time in which the battle grows severe and the conflict becomes more intense against the Christian. The devil gathers his forces, and he comes in his strength, and he comes for you. That's what he's doing. He's coming for you. And he wants to shake your faith, and he wants to destroy it, and he wants to lead you astray. And he concentrates his power on you. It is a lifelong conflict and warfare, but there are days in the battle when the battle rages more intensely than others. And when these days come, Christians must be ready, and they must be able to stand against him when the evil day comes upon them. And Paul tells us how to do it. In the rest of the passage, he mentions the various weapons, the armor of the Christian, the loins of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the gospel of peace. And he speaks of the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And then the last thing he mentions is prayer in verse 18. He says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert. There's the word, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Be on the alert with all prayer. He mentions prayer last because all the other weapons, they must all be put on with prayer. The other weapons are ineffectual without prayer. The other weapons have no power without the strength of the Lord and the power of his might, and that comes only by prayer. The other weapons and all the armor can only be used by prayer. And there are times in the life of a Christian when he knows he is in the evil days. And when the evil day is there, he has only one place to go, to the throne of grace for help. Christians who have been in the Christian life for some time, they know those evil days that they've been through. And the only thing that got them through it was prayer. No other way. Every Christian, in one way or another, will find himself at one time or another in the evil day. And the only way for you to get through it is to use the weapon of all prayer. Be on the alert when it comes, and pray at all times, and be watchful. There are times in the life of a Christian when the Word of God is not even in itself a sufficient sword to fight this enemy. There are times when a Christian doesn't even know what passages to turn to and what word of God to use in the conflict. And the only thing he can do is pray. That's what happened to Christian in Pilgrim's Progress. He went into the valley of the shadow of death, and he came into the middle of the valley, and it was all dark around him. And he called the place the mouth of hell. And John Bunyan wrote about Christian, the flame and smoke would come up out in such an abundance with sparks and hideous noises. And things which cared not for Christian's sword as did Apollyon before. In other words, what he's referring to is he slew Apollyon with the word of God, the sword. But when he used the sword in the valley of the shadow of death, it seemed to do nothing against these powers. What could he do? And Bunyan says he was forced to put up his sword and to take up himself to another weapon called all prayer. And when thus he wielded this mighty weapon, the fiends of hell gave back and came no further. That's how he won the conflict in the valley of the shadow of death, with the weapon of all prayer. Pray at all times, he says. Be on the alert, watching. All the other weapons, all the other armor can be on, but if we have not prayer, then we will not be able to stand. We'll be like a soldier with all his weapons, and yet he's fallen asleep, and the enemy comes and takes him. A Christian who is not praying with spiritual watchfulness against his sins and the sins all around him is a Christian who is in great danger. The only way we can stand in the evil day, the only way we can stand before the Son of Man when he comes, is to always be watching and always be praying against the spiritual dangers and the sins that are all around us. Be devoted to prayer, keeping alert in it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come and ask your help and your blessing today upon us. O Lord, how prone we are to wander and sleep, and how prone we are to give up the spiritual fight and the struggles against the evil one and against sin all around us and within us. O Lord, help us, we pray. Keep us awake and alert in the Christian life, and help us to be devoted to prayer. And Lord Jesus, give power to us from heaven to be a faithful people who love you and walk with you and do your will and are pleasing in your sight. Lord Jesus, be the great captain of our salvation, and lead us in this great battle that we are in, and give us your grace and power to walk in all your ways. Thank you, and hear us now. In Jesus' name, amen.